Blog Talk Radio.
Bible said, eat the salted peanuts out the can. I wonder if they're planters. You think they planters peanut trees? I think they was planters, for real. Hey, everyone. We'd like to welcome you guys to this week's first show of Kale's Corner on a Tuesday. You know what I mean? Hey, listen. Before I even get started, I want to take this time to thank all of you for the birthday wishes, speeches, and everything you threw my way, prayers and all of that. I really and truly appreciate it. I want to thank my twin, my brother, you know what I mean, for the good time that he and I shared, which we always do. My cousin, Debo, for sticking his head out and coming out in the street with us on a Friday night. And my man, Debo, Damon, for coming out with me. And, I'm going to tell you, Essence, I don't care how old they get. They crank. And Trish, they got a new female singer. Goodness gracious. Boy, I'm trying. Hey, listen, I told Damon, I said, is that a new singer? He said, yeah, man. He said, no. He said, nah. What it is all of these bands, like when they're having events where they're playing together, these young girls been watching Miss Kim do her thing. And I'm trying to tell you, Therese, and you know what? I said it, Therese. This is the type of relationship that my woman and I have. I said, that girl bent over to pick up her phone. I almost dropped my damn drink. It was just cranberry juice. It was just cranberry juice. But I was like, goodness gracious. You know, because nowadays with everybody being into the surgery thing, you know, Treece, I've become somewhat a professional at whose body is real and natural and who's had surgery. You know what I'm talking about? And okay. I'm here to tell you, slim hips, thighs, I mean, all the way down to her ankles was the perfect fit. I'm trying to tell you, man, all of that junk was okay. All right, yeah. And listen, I'm a man, and I'll say 5% chauvinist. You know what I'm saying? Yes, Essence crank when it's all men up there, because when it's all men up there, I'm just focused on the instruments and the whole music side of things. But when a female is up there, I'm entertained. I'm entertained, and there is nothing better you know, than to see an attractive woman up there commanding the band and the crowd. I'm trying to tell you, it's something beautiful about that situation. Yeah, talking about. So yeah,
right.
Your boy had a great time, and Saturday, Damon called me and was like, "Man, we're gonna go to this hotel party out in Virginia." I don't really like to party in Virginia. It just don't, you know, it just don't work for me. But then Damon hit me, not even being in the door trees 10 minutes at the party, and was like, "Man, this joint already better than Essence was last night." It was Belladonna, Proper Utensils, and Junkyard. And I love Proper Utensils. I mean, I was going to see Proper Utensils back in the 90s when Funk first ventured off from Rare Essence and started the band Proper Utensils. I was going to see them back then. So, and I told him, I was like, prop cranks, man. Don't sleep on props. They get their man. And sure enough, he said he wasn't there for 10 minutes and saw everything that I was saying about Proper Utensils. So, hey, again, I thank you all. I appreciate the love and the prayers and the birthday wishes. Hey, listen, I got my new cancer shirt, my shirt with the crabs all over it. Yeah, I can't wait for next year's celebration so I can rock that job. Yeah, that might be something brand new for the folks to look at. Look, one of my friends, I posted a picture of, a classmate of my brother and I took a picture with us, and she posted it, you know, and with the comments of out with my Sandbox brothers, you know, on their birthday. And everybody said, "We knew it was your birthday because Kale got that shirt on." Everybody knows about my soccer
birthday
my,
shirt.
Yeah, exactly. But, Trees, I'm here to tell you, I'm going to mess their heads up next year. I'm going to mess their heads up completely next year because I got a brand new shirt. Yeah, and not only do I have a brand new shirt, my twin got a brand new shirt, courtesy of Fashion and Dying. Yeah, I'm telling y'all, man, hey, listen. Y'all want to go ahead and get with her, man. Get with her. Get right. She can find your birthday shirt, or if you just want a special shirt to wear out for whatever the occasion may be, give her a holler, man. Give her a holler. Y'all talking about? All right, lady. You know what? It was only one thing that I didn't get a chance to do this weekend, and it bothered me. That was seeing my grandbaby. I love to hug and kiss her, you know, on my birthday. But it's the summertime, and her and her mom doing their thing in and out, and, you know, with the new baby and all, you know, it's crazy. The movement is just off the chain. So, you know, hey, Zuri, Pop-Pop, love you, baby. Pop-Pop, love you. Lonnie. Zulani is her name, but everybody knows I call her Lonnie Pop. She's my little Lonnie Pop. Pop Pop, love you, baby. Pop Pop, love you as well. And to my daughter, I love you as well, baby. I love you as well. And you know what? I'm going to commend my grandchildren's father. You know, not saying my daughter is hard to deal with or anything like that. But I understand the struggle for baby fathers. I understand and respect the struggle for you mothers as well. Don't get it twisted. But in more cases than not, we see the baby mother sticking around doing what she's supposed to do, raising her children, but to have the father there as help. You know, I was FaceTiming with my grandbaby the other night, and he was there, and he was sitting there playing his video game, and poor DJ, Zuri was climbing on that man like he was a jungle gym. And not one time did he get excited or holler at her or fuss about it or anything. He laughed and played along with her. And I told him, I said, you know, these are the times when she gets older and your word and comments will mean nothing to her. These are the times that you're going to reminisce on and miss more than anything else, you know, because I remember when Emmanuel was a little dude, you know, and how he just, whatever his father was doing, he wanted to do. You know, I told you about the time I had the toothache girl, and that joker, that toothache dropped me to my knees and had my head in the palm of my hand on the floor, and I'm just praying, Lord, please stop this. And something told me, look at your son. And I looked at Emmanuel, and he was right beside me doing the exact same thing that I was doing. And it was at that moment that I realized, you're being watched. What you do matters. So to all the fathers out there, keep being a father. Keep doing what you're doing. If I always say, if you have a female, a daughter, then it is up to us to teach them what unconditional love is. Understand that. It is up to us as a father to teach our daughters what unconditional love is, and it's up to us to teach our sons what it means to be a real man. You know, there was times, Treece, when I used to be like, Dad, say this to her. Dad, why are you letting her get away with this? Dad, say this back to her, Dad. Why are you just letting her? And my father would just sit there and humble himself, let mom get off whatever it is she wanted to say, and he moved right along like it wasn't nothing at all to the conversation. So, hey, I appreciate him for that, and I appreciate you fathers out there being true fathers, uncles being true uncles, aunties being true aunties. There's a whole generation of family that is necessary. You know, the Bible said that it takes a village to raise a child. And to me, that village is grandma, grandpa, aunties, uncles, older cousins, you know, that whole village, man, because you never know who a child will look up at and give them that respect. So it's important for us to remember that and to be that for the children. But I don't even know why I went down that road with that, Treece. But thank you all for the birthday celebration wishes. I appreciate you guys. And there's no corner like Tails Corner. Yeah, I'm talking about Lady T. How was you guys' weekend? What did you guys get into?
We went to my niece is graduating. She's already graduated. I had two nieces that graduated, and they're off to college pre-law on August the 12th. Yes, we need some black lawyers, people. We got some two up-and-coming black lawyers coming and heading your way. Yeah, they graduated with honors. So, yeah, that's what we were at.
Yeah. Tell them Uncle Kill got some people he want to see. So I'm going to need them to get that.
Exactly.
That's what's up. All right, y'all. On today's Tuesday episode, we dive deep into the MLB second half. Teams that are separating themselves from the pack. Also, possible trades, y'all. They still talking about your boy, Otani, getting up out of there with the Angels. So we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss the championship fight this weekend between Crawford and Spence. I want to see if anybody's opinions have changed since our last discussion. We'll talk the latest NBA news and happenings around the association. And with that part being said, guys, we want to send a word, a prayer out for LeBron James' family. His oldest son, Bronny, suffered a cardiac arrest at practice on Monday. Now, he's doing well now. He's come back around, but trust me, as somebody who has been through that personally, there is no scarier feeling than when you're going through it, and even once you've come back, because you really don't know if everything is operating as it should, especially when this situation hits you out the blue. You know what I mean? So we want to send a word of prayer out for the James family. NFL training camps have opened up, y'all. All teams have reported by today, the 25th of July. So what we're going to do is we can continue to take a look at two top 10 positions. And today's positions will be quarterbacks and running backs heading into this 2023 season. And let me just say this, NFL, shame on y'all. Players Association, shame on you guys, because the running backs are really a key and important factor to each offense in this league. And for those guys to have to go through what they're going through to be paid is despicable. It is despicable.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And we're going to dig a little deeper into that when we are talking about the running backs. Okay, y'all. You can join Lady T and the Online Corner crew on Facebook Live at Kale's Corner, or you can join Lady T, DMV Kale, and all our live in-studio family on 563-999-3782 each and every Tuesday and Thursday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone, Lord willing, okay? Kale's Corner, we're keeping it real is our only real. You know what I'm talking about? That's our only real. You know what I'm talking about? And you know what? We got fact checkers on Kale's Corner, so If they're not on live, they're live in the studio with Lady T and myself. So you come up here talking some junk if you want to. We got people waiting to check you on those facts. Now, don't be scared. Don't be scared to say what it is that you feel, because you feel what you feel because you feel that. So we want you to say that. But if it's a fact that needs to be checked in that, we have the fact checkers here on Tales Caller. All right. So we're going to take a quick one. 563-999-3782 MLB when we come back, y'all. And that joint heating up, man. I'm trying to see it.
Once upon a time, Brooklyn was the scene. In the project that they call Fort Greene, they live a young man, send the fellas his name. To make it interesting, it's me, Dana Dane. I live in a house with my crew stepdad and two stepbrothers who treated me bad. I cook, I clean, I scrub the floors, and I was like an Evan boy running to the stores. My brothers, they used to boast and brag. We've got fresh gear and you've got rags. Even worse than that, to make me feel low, they gave me a straw hat while they black hangers. Girls used to say, dang, you're so cute, but you get no rap with them polyester suits. Well, one day up the avenue, there was a man.
Hey, skin the fella, dang the dang. All right, y'all. The American League. My buddy, your Baltimore Orioles trying to separate themselves. They're leading the American League East at 62-38. The American League Central, we have the Minnesota Twins at 54-48. At the American League West, the Texas Rangers, 59-42. Okay, the National League East, the team with the best record in baseball by two games, the Atlanta Braves, 64-34. The National League Central, the Milwaukee Brewers at 56-45. And bringing it up in the West is the Los Angeles Dodgers at 57-42. Now, let's take a look at the wild card teams. Teams in the wild card, we have Tampa Bay Rays at 61-42 from the American League. The Cincinnati Reds, 55-47 from the American League. We have the Yankees at 53-47 from the American League, and San Francisco Giants at 54-47. And for those of you that just want to know, the Washington Nationals are 41-59, 12 and a half games back for the National League wild card division.
Oh, wow.
Listen, my Betty been saying it all season. What about my Orioles? Y'all ain't talking about my Orioles. What about my Orioles? Well, my Betty done wish them Orioles right up in first place in this American League East. And I'm going to tell y'all, I watched the Oriole game yesterday, and then it was on again today. And them Orioles, man, whew, them Orioles are, I mean, they have what you want right now. Now, that doesn't mean it won't fall off, but for right now, clutch hitting, great pitching, that starting and out the bullpen, these guys are bringing. These guys are bringing it, and kudos my Betty and her Orioles for doing what they're doing right now. Lady T, you got anything you want to add to that?
I'm just so mad that, okay, so I'm just going to say it because I know you're thinking it, so I'm just going to say it for you. Even though the Nats, right, their record is not that good, but they beat up on the Giants this weekend, okay? They beat up on the Giants this weekend. I'm talking about they beat up the Giants. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that before anybody else have a chance to go ahead and say it in all their glory, okay? So, but the list is amazing. The list is good. Ma did speak the Orioles into existence because they wasn't number one. I think they were number four or number five or something like that. Now they're number one.
They were round number three. They were round number three.
Yeah. Okay. Now they just doing it like they just winning games. Like, I don't know. I might become an old fan of daggone self, but I can't leave my Giants out. So I'm just going to be a fan of them because of my mom. But other than that,
I can't, right?
See, you can't. You can't do it.
I can't do it
because you're a Washington fan. Exactly. That's the reason
Even if I wasn't a Washington fan, most Oriole fans, I just don't get along with them. About them, I just do not get along with those people. and Ravens fans as well. Now, I will say, because of the corner, I've had the privilege of meeting more human Ravens and Baltimore Orioles fans. But in the beginning, before Kale's corner, all of those fans just, they just, girl, they got on my leg. Absolutely.
Listen, I know they got on your nerves, but listen, my Betty said, did I hear what she said? Did I hear you say that they are great, Kale? Oh, Kale says that? We number one in the National League.
I said they are number one in the American League, and they are playing great. I didn't say they was great. I said they're playing great. There's a difference. That's not about.
It definitely is a difference. Definitely.
Now, I know this next caller, this next voice, because he was texting me all weekend. Do you hear me? You watching them next?
Okay.
Look at them next. We got to bring a broom.
Oh, 007.
So, you know.
007.
So I'm thinking he texts you too. Come on, 007.
Yes.
Get it off your chest, bro.
That's why I said let me say it first.
Mm. Come on, 007. Take yourself off mute, man. All right. Well, we'll wait for 007 to come back on. I'm going to leave you on 007. But right now, let's go to the Huckleberry.
What's up, Huck?
What's happening to everybody? What's happening with y'all? Look, I got three things. Hey, hold on, 007. They called you like five times now. No, okay. This is what I'm going to do, though. I'm like they do in Congress. I'm going to yield. To the man
you
from nowhere land. Go ahead, 007. I'm going to yell on the floor.
I love him.
Now, as
come
I
on,
was saying, happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Tuesday.
Okay.
Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday.
What a weekend. What a
mm-hmm.
weekend.
Look, just get it out, 007. Go on and get it out.
It's not because of the national sweep, because to pull out the broom. Which we're going to talk on the commander. I know y'all are going to talk about that later, but it was just a extraordinary weekend. Again,
yeah.
I hope you enjoyed your birthday, Brother Kales, man, because it was a phenomenal weekend.
Phenomenal?
I say, hey, look, yeah, phenomenal. Yup, I said it. P-8, phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
P-8, phenomenal. Go ahead.
That's how you spell it.
Right.
But I do want to talk about the Orioles because they still plan like they really want the World Series this year. 35
yeah.
come from behind. This remind me of the Nets of 2019 when we were coming from behind in games and stuff. That's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give him props because I ain't gonna need to go front and say I haven't watched them on WC, on Channel 20 back in the day, you know, on the black and
right.
white TV,
okay,
Kyle Ripken and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't gonna dish them. I get credit due. The same way they was sorry going 19-105. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But I'm going to give them props when, you know, they donate that. And they donate things. I ain't going to talk about anybody else in the AL East because I don't even want anybody to get mad. Listen, Yankee fan. Y'all need to get y'all need to get y'all game up.
I ain't getting in it either. I am not.
No.
You know I'm telling the
come
truth.
On, 57.
Well,
what
yeah, come on,
57. Well, look, I can't really mess with you right now, 007, because
you know.
Just see, there you go. You can't even give you no props. But listen, as far as the Orioles go, let me hit sis first.
Oh,
it's
man.
Funny when y'all lose. It's funny when the Giants lose. sis come on here and she go, yeah, you know, Giants, they really lost last night. They lost this weekend.
Oh, no, we did.
But when they win, she go, we tore them up. You got to be we all the time, baby. Y'all got y'all butt.
I said we got our butts whooped. That's what I said. 57?
Yeah, she did.
Let me say it before anybody else said it. Let me say it now and get it out the way.
Look,
that's what I said.
At the end of the show, y'all go back and listen to the beginning of it. When she first started off, she started off, yeah, they really beat the Giants. And that she didn't say
we. Oh, I did say that. I did.
Yeah.
I did.
That's all I'm saying.
But
and
you're right.
My buddy,
it's a,
you
it's
in
weak.
Trouble.
You're right. It's we.
You in trouble because Hale just said something great about your team. And so the wheels are about to fall off that wagon. I'm telling you.
See what he did?
Oh. Yeah. See what he did to the Yankees last year? And this year, we ain't even making it out the gate. But,
hey, man,
but we're going to see how good.
I'm a sports reporter, so I have to report when somebody is doing good. That's all.
There you go.
That's all. Hey, listen, how many times was my Betty been? It just last week. Y'all ain't never talk about the Orioles. Y'all don't say nothing about the Orioles. Even though we were constantly I try to bring up every team that's represented here on the corner. And the Orioles is a team that is represented. So, you know, when they were playing lackluster, then their attention was lackluster. Now that they're number one in the American League East, hey, I give them their props. They're number one. They did their thing. You know, my Betty, maybe you need to
say it loud. She said, say it a little bit louder.
Now I'm like 57, y'all. If you going to brag like you've been there before. Brag like you've been there before. Don't come with that. All that mess. Now that your team's doing good. You want to talk trash? Don't put no seasoning on that, John. We don't need no seasoning at all.
Hey, babe, they care. The last time they was there, all due respect, Mom Betty was probably in high school.
Cal Ripken was playing then. That's a Cal Ripken.
She said we taking names with that bat.
Ain't this when he had the bottle in his hand say, got milk? Look, you know, he had the milk jump.
Way back then.
When the phrase was originally thought of, yeah, that's the absolute truth. Got milk. Yeah, yeah. Dang, my baddie. Y'all, I didn't say that,
okay,
my baddie.
We're doing all right. She said,
hey,
we're going to do all
good
right this
again.
We good.
My baddie, y'all are playing great. Boom, chock, lock, lock. Look, I can even feel the
I ain't getting
like
in.
50, like 57 said, I just put the kubosh on your Orioles. Yeah, it ain't my natural, though. Let's bring Brother Tang into this conversation. What it do, bruh?
What's up, Tang?
Kev's calling the family. Much love and respect. How everybody doing? What's up, big bro? Lady
What's
T,
up, bro?
007, 57, and the online crew.
Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, we talking bad about
man,
the Orioles right now.
Yeah. Hey, look, man. I ain't going to mess with Mar Martin because they doing good right now.
Right now.
Y'all already know that.
Yeah.
They doing real good.
How you really
like
feel, man?
I just did, big boy. I can't talk about what I heard y'all talking about when we kicked them Giants butt this week. Lady T trying to come over here and smooth it off real smooth, try to say something before we say something. She knew we was going to be on it real good.
That's right.
Punish them, John.
That's right.
That's what I'm going to talk about.
My mother told me, when you know you outbeat, beat them to the punchline. That was my mama told me.
That's
right.
Well,
it's all good.
Well,
it's all good.
Mom, Betty said, "I hope I'm not getting them sevens mixed up." But one of them had a lot to say about the old folding.
Mm. He said, "One of them sevens, 007 or 57."
Yeah, one of them sevens.
Hey, look, it wasn't me.
Tell my Betty,
just throw a rock. Anyone I may hit, that's the one that said it.
Exactly.
Both of them talking trash.
Both of them talking trash.
Hey, 57, you closer? Cause you in the AOE.
Mm. Hey, that's why
that's crazy.
Hey, look, we gonna knock them off that high horse this weekend. We're going to see what they really made of. We got a series with them this weekend. We're going to see what they made of. For real.
A caveat to it all, the Yankees are getting healthy, man. They getting healthy.
Yes,
so
sir.
They getting players back, y'all. They getting players back.
Uh-oh,
so 57. It's not going to be the same. Shut up, Tree. It's not going to be the same old. You say, uh-oh, 57.
Hey, man, I wish they were playing. I wish the Giants was playing y'all again this weekend.
Man, stop.
You know.
Stop. Really got out. ASS whooped enough this weekend. We need a rest.
Hey,
we good.
Hey, one thing I am going to say, the Nationals have some good young prospects on their team. They have some good young men on their team, guys that I wasn't paying attention to at all because of their record, because of their seeding. I just wasn't paying attention to them, but this weekend, I did actually watch them, and they got some young guys that going to be trouble once this next year and maybe the year after. I like this draft pick. I forgot the young guy's name that they picked, but he's a dual threat. You know what I mean? So things are looking up for the Nationals. Not this year. Hey, my Betty, this year, it's all about your Orioles here on the corner. Y'all doing the damn thing, holding it down. So nobody has anything at all to say contrary to your Orioles team. But, hey, all I'm going to say is un shakla.
Hey, Kim, let me say this, too. The Nationals are in line to get this pitcher from LSU. I don't know if anybody watched College World Series this year, but
yeah,
they got this pitcher from LSU. Looks just like Strasburg, and a little bit better than Strasburg. The Nationals are in line to get this guy when he comes out of college next year. And everything. They could have got him this year, but he decided to stay for one more year.
But you know what, 57? That scares me. That makes me nervous. You know?
Why is that?
Because of everything that happened with Strasburg. Now, I'm not putting a bad bone on this young man before he comes out. I hope that he comes out and he is even more to the Nationals than Strasburg was, but it just makes me nervous. A guy with that type of talent coming to the Nats, you know, it's just I cringe with every pitch. I cringe with every ball that's hit directly back towards him. I'm just nervous, and that's just me.
But this guy is And I understand what you're saying, Kale. I understand exactly what you're saying. Strasburg was more was strictly power, raw power guy. This guy got power, but he also got a little more finesse with his pitches than Strasburg did. That's why I say he's a little bit better than Strasburg. So that's why I think he. You know, I understand your. Your skepticism and everything, because Strasburg, if he could have stayed healthy, might have been one of the best pitchers ever to play the game, but he couldn't stay healthy.
Joshua Gray, he needs help anyway. And Patrick Corbin, you know, he's getting old. His contract up. So if he come in the second year, the contract be up. What a better time for him to help Joshua Gray in the pitcher rotation with Irvin and everybody go follow behind.
And you know what? Corbin is one of those guys. I remember him during 2019, and he was, without a doubt, the weakest pitcher in the rotation, but he had his good games. He had his good games, and I watched him this weekend, and he showed flashes. He did show flashes of days of old, but I agree with you, 57. Corbin is getting older. So it's about time for the Nats to pay attention to that pitcher position. So with that being said, bring them young guys in, man. And if we can get that young World Series pitcher, that college World Series pitcher that 57 is speaking of, I think that would be a great boost to this Nationals team, seriously. And it's funny, you know, I look at other sports, NBA, NFL, and it's funny how certain teams seem to always get the big name talent. Well, it seems to me that this national team, for whatever reason, always get big name talent. You know, somebody that the rest of the league is has an eye on. So, you know, hopefully this young man comes out and lives up to the hype, you know, barring any injuries or any mental exhaustion or anything of that nature. Hopefully this young man comes out and do what is expected, you know. But and Marcus, no, I'm not pessimistic. Marcus called me pessimistic Kale. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just telling you the way things go or have gone with our Nationals team. You know, so, you know, kudos to them. Kudos to the Orioles, man. I give, like I say, my baddie, you guys are doing the damn thing with the second best record in the MLB at 62 wins and 38 losses, you know. 30 and 20 at home, 32 and 18 on the road. Whenever a team wins more on the road than at home, that's a team to watch. Yes. That's a team to watch, because we all know that you have to play on the road. You have to play on the road when things get thick. So, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that they're ready. They're ready no matter what comes their way. So we'll see what happens with them as things get down to the nitty-gritty here come October and September. You know, will they hold on?
We carrying our boots. We carrying our boots with us when we go down to the Crescent City, because it's going to be some mud stomping. Gonna be some mud.
Oh my goodness.
Somebody gonna get a mud hole stomped in them, blah, blah, blah.
I know that's right. You talking about the fishing boots, 57.
Yes, sir.
The high top boots,
You know the ones, Kale, where you can really get deep?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The only boutique.
Yeah, my
Betty said,
might
thank
be
y'all
back
for finally talking about her O's. My Betty said, thank y'all for finally talking about her O's.
Oh, no doubt.
We had to. She bothered us every week.
Yeah, it was
better. Hey, help us see him in October.
You never said we had to because of you.
Thank her Orioles for making themselves relevant. You know, thank your Orioles. Don't thank us because, hey, what I say, Kale's Corner, we're keeping it real. It's the only real. And right now, the Orioles are real. They are real right now.
They are.
Boom, shock, lock, lock. Boom, shock, lock, lock. Lock, lock. All right, y'all. Great baseball.
Just
talk.
Don't be quiet in September, Mom Betty.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Leave it alone.
All right, Joe. 563-999-3782. I know my Betty ain't going to be quiet. No, sir, because we not going to let her. We ain't going to let her be quiet here on the corner. We're going to remind her of all this on 725 at 5:46. Her conversation. All right, y'all. We'll be right back. Your boy Crawford was saying, I watched the Showtime countdown to the Spence Crawford fight, and Crawford pretty much was saying that, you know, don't push him because he's close to the edge. Yeah, time out. So I'm going to tell y'all like this. This has been the hardest decision for me. I have flip-flopped back and forth, but I'm going to put my money on Crawford. I like the way he's coming in. Yeah, because Spence, like during Spence's interview, it was a lot of jokes, a lot of playing around, and Crawford, he just seems to be more intense. He seems to be more involved with what's to come than Spence. Now, that's just to me, guys. That's just my opinion. But we'll see July 29th what things really are. Lady T, go ahead.
I didn't see the interview. When he was, like you said, was playing around, I didn't see that interview, but I just still have my money on Spence. I just think he's a little bit more hungry for the title. I think he just want to beat this man up just to show everybody that he can beat this man. And I know everybody is saying Bud is a little bit more focused, but I don't see it. I don't see it. I just think they're both equal at what they can do, but I just think Spence is going to take this fight. It's in my bones that he's going to take this fight, that he has the edge. So that's just where I'm at with it. I'm still sticking with Spence.
Okay. Okay. Marcus, come on in here, Marcus. What's happening?
Hey, Marcus.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Marcus?
What's up, Marcus?
What's
up, bro?
I can't call it, Marcus. Hey, now, man, happy to be on the corner with all the compadres and you know.
Okay.
What's up?
That's what's up.
How you feel about the fight? You still feel Bud's gonna win?
with your expertise.
I mean,
right.
Yes, sir. I mean, look.
Okay.
I mean, if you ask anybody in the boxing world that knows boxing,
mm-hmm.
I mean, anything can happen. I mean, the only thing that Spence got going for him is he might catch Crawford. But what
mm-hmm.
I have, my argument to that is that Crawford has been caught before and been hit by harder punchers than Spence. See, Spence, here's my beef with the Spence and Crawford fight. I told y'all how I feel like it's overrated, and you mentioned something. I heard you say, Treece, that they're evenly matched. They really aren't evenly matched. They really aren't, and I'm going to tell you why. Because Spence, if you look at his career, he really ain't fought for real since he had his accident. You know, he had a little layoff. You know, he was on the road for a second.
Right.
But Spence, his abilities is straight up and down. He moves forward. That's the best way I can explain it. He comes forward.
Okay.
He's a forward fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He put the press
mm-hmm.
on you. But, and he uses power. But when you have a boxer, right, in the history of, it's hard for a brawler to beat a sound boxer. And that
mm-hmm.
boy is a sound boxer with a chin who's been tested, and he can move. He can go southpaw. He can go orthodox. He can go either way, and he can move, and he can boogie. You know what I'm saying? I said that last week. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
He can move. You know?
Okay.
He got. He's very elusive, and I've watched him in his corner being synced as far as game plan goes. You know what I'm saying? They'll come in, they got plan A, plan B, plan C, and they'll make adjustments during the fight. But it's hard to do that when you have a person that's one-dimensional. You know what I'm saying? He's not one-dimensional. Spence is one-dimensional. And I'm telling you, what Spence is one-dimensional. And going to be a lot of Crawford. You're going to watch him. He's going to get caught on angles and bust up on angles, and then Crawford got that dog, too. He'll sit and bite down, and like when he fought Gamboa. You see him? Gamboa hit harder than Spence. He hits harder than Spence. He just does. And he was getting caught by Gamboa. He was eating them jumps and sitting right there and trading with him and then knock Gamboa out. You don't want to trade with Spence. With Bug.
Crawford.
You don't want to trade with Crawford. Yeah, you don't want to trade. You don't want to trade with the boy. If he bite down on that mouthpiece and sit in the box with you, if he realize he could take Spence power, it's gonna be a problem. It's gonna be a short night.
Now,
promise you.
Now, Marcus,
you prefaced everything
you just said with anything can happen. Give us an example of what those anything could happen may be to make Spence victorious.
All right, so the number one thing is most of the best fighters, they figure out your distance, you know, and that comes from fighting from when you were a kid. Like it's like a little matrix that you get into. Now, and what happens is you start realizing that with the distance that you are from the fighter, you can actually pull back just a little bit, turn your head, and he can't hit you. Crawford does that a lot, where he's throwing punches from weird angles, and he's turning his head while the other opponent is punching. If he could get caught by Spence, and Spence could knock him out. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can get knocked out.
Right.
And that is the only way I see him losing this fight. It ain't going to be because of boxing. And if he's smart, his camp is not going to allow him to get in no exchange, no real, real solid exchange with Spence.
Okay.
Now, it's going to be a boxing match.
Again, from the Showtime special, Spence and Crawford, I saw Spence's manager get into it with Crawford, and they mixed words, And it seemed to be more intense than any, I mean, Crawford and Spence, when they were up on the mic being interviewed, it was like they jones on each other. You know, we're going to fry some fish. Spence brought up the fact that Crawford doesn't eat hot sauce. And Crawford was like, how the hell do you know I don't eat hot sauce? You know,
I saw that, yeah. But he didn't know he didn't eat hot sauce. I think he was just saying that, and then it just so happened to be true.
Okay. Nah, he knew. They homies, man.
No, he said it. He said he didn't. How he know? He said, don't nobody know. Even on the bus, he said that. And then a dude that was with them, he was like, you don't eat hot sauce? Like, he didn't even know. Like, his friend that was sitting right beside him didn't even know. So I doubt it. I don't think he knew. I don't think he knew.
All right, but see, I can understand why the promoters and the managers, they sick of this because they've been dealing with all of the drama and the pullouts and the paperwork and the matchmakers dealing with all that for the past few years, and they sick of it. You know what I'm saying? They ready to get it on. You know what I'm saying? They've done more work than the fighters. Ain't done no work yet. They about to do the work. they gonna put the icing on the cake. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
About time.
Okay. So pound for pound, you going with Crawford?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, and so is the whole boxing world. If you look at the odds, MGM and FanDuel, you'll see it's favorable for a buzz.
Okay.
That's why Smith's going to win.
I'm going to say this. Crawford's background impressed me as far as where he's come from and all he's been through. You know, I mean, just in life, dude is a fighter. You know, with life, I'm not even speaking of in the ring. I'm talking about outside of the ring. The man has been shot as a young child. He grew up in an area where it's no type of out for most young guys, and for him to take to boxing like he did, and to elevate himself to the point of where he is, I mean, I just, you know, I don't see. And then with Spence, that car accident, man, when they showed the video of that car accident, I'm like, dude on borrowed time, man. Dude on borrowed time. That I don't recall any human being walking away from that type of accident and the eye injury that he suffered. You know, and I'm thinking that all of this stuff compiled can be a weakness for Spence. And just like Spence knew Crawford didn't eat hot sauce, Crawford knows the tragedies and the weaknesses of Spence as well. And again, when they talk to Spence, it's kind of like you guys know, like when you were young, and people out in the street would fight, and they would talk smack to one another all the way up until the fight, and you could tell just how certain people were saying certain things that they really didn't want no parts of that fight. I told y'all about the fight I had where I was actually winning, and I had the bully down on the ground and jumped up and ran away because in my mind I'm thinking, I don't have no business beating this dude. But I was beating him. I was winning, actually. But mentally, I wasn't in it. So I look at Spence and the way he conducted himself during the interview, and it was just like something is missing. He just don't, you know, and I'm not going to contribute that to the man's fight style because I believe he's an excellent fighter. I'll give him his props on that. But I just think Crawford is coming to the fight on the 29th with a little more confidence and a little more, I'm going to whoop the heck out of this man. You know what I mean? That's just how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Come on in here, 57. Look, 57, I know 57 is not impressed by none of these fighters or none of your actors. But,
none of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with him. I'm with 50. I agree with 57 on that one. That's for sure.
Well, he don't like
that's
none
why
of
it's amazing.
Going on.
It was amazing that you called me next. For real. I will say this. I do think Crawford throws his punches from more angles. Spence is the type of guy, from what I've seen, you know, I don't mm-hmm. watch it like Marcus does, but what I've seen, Spence is the type of fighter that he has to step and get set before he throws his punch, where Crawford can be moving back and throwing punches, moving side to side and throwing punches. I just think he can throw from angles, and I think he got an advantage. And something that Marcus said, too, is Crawford got that beast in him. You can see it. When he comes out there, he got that beast in him, like he's ready to fight,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
yeah.
I have to agree with Marcus on this one right here.
Hmm. All right, Tank.
Yeah.
What's up? Hey, look. All right, Tank, the host of the fight party Saturday night. What say you?
Hey, man, y'all already know, man. I'm just waiting to see a good fight. Y'all know I'm going Spence all the way, baby. Spence.
Okay,
okay. That's what I'm rocking with. That's what I'm going with.
And that's
I always put
you,
regardless, I put money on the underdog.
Okay,
that's good.
Seventh round, Crawford going down.
Seventh round. Okay.
Seventh round, Crawford going down.
I say fifth round, Spence going down in the fifth round.
Okay.
I really do. I think I think Crawford going to figure him out in the fourth, and then in the fifth, he's just going to end it. I truly do.
$100. $100 gets you $1,500 on the draw.
Oh, yeah?
I don't gamble.
You gamble money.
No, I don't. Yeah, push
what
up.
What way you mean?
Investing is gambling. Yeah.
No,
yes,
it's not.
Yes,
I don't
is.
Invest in that.
It's never sure.
What I invest in?
My bad.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say my bad.
All right.
I ain't messing with you, Marcus. I ain't messing with you.
So no football rules here?
Gerald says Spence all day. Spence will hurt Crawford early. He's going to hurt Crawford early.
Okay. Why does he say that? What does he think Spence has over Crawford to hurt him early?
Why do you think that, Gerald? We'll wait for his response.
Okay. While we're waiting for his response, 0699, you're on the corner. I don't want to give your whole number away. 0699, welcome to the corner. Okay.
I'm used to
tell. Hey, everybody. How you doing? That's old
Kirby.
What's up, Kirby?
Kirby, come
well, from the bathroom. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm just madder than a hunchback at a limbo contest.
You know what? I ain't messing with you, Kirby.
Hey,
Phil Hezekiah, we love him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. And that hunchback Kirby, that hunchback can limbo forward because he has that hunchback. He got to support all that weight.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I'm so old. My man boobs hit my knee. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, and I'm so old. I'm so old. My tattoos look misspelled. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I ain't messing with you, Kirby. Kirby, who you think gonna win this fight, Kirby? Who you think gonna win this fight, Crawford or Spence? Who you think gonna win?
Crawford.
Okay.
Crawford.
Yeah.
Anyway, Super Bowl champion legend Rick Doc Walker might be calling in here shortly.
Okay. Good. He'll be right in time.
Now, I want to mention when you started talking about football. That Eric Bieniemy, you know, he got us a right tackle from the Kansas City Chiefs, you know. But now he got us a wide receiver from the Kansas City Chiefs, a four-year vet. He's 6'1", and 200-something pounds, and he knows the language and the system. And so his name is Rio Robinson, I think.
Yeah, Robinson.
Yeah. Well, that's what's up.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I'm going to go back on mute till Doc shows up because I'm having some issues with my feet. So I'll talk to you later.
All right.
You feel better. We'll put you on the prayer list.
Yeah, Kirby, get the hell off your feet, man. You can talk to us sitting down. All right, y'all. So, hey, that's the bet. Half of us saying Crawford, half of us saying Spence. All of us want a good fight. So, yeah.
Right.
That joint's like the loss and dip set.
You know? So, yeah, we're going to make sure. Well, we want
Crawford's a lock.
You think Crawford is the lock? Okay, all right. That's what's up. All right, y'all. That's this weekend, the 29th. If you don't have somewhere to watch that fight, find somewhere to watch that fight because I believe it's going to be one of the best fights in a while. I believe these guys are really going to put on a show, even though they're buddies, and you can see that they're buddies, the way that they laugh and joke around, but I still believe that it's going to be a great fight. All right. 563-999-3782. When we come back, NBA, latest NBA news and happening. Jaylen Brown doesn't deserve this money, and it's, you know, what about the rest
he
of
does.
The team and this and that and the third. I believe he does as well. I believe he does as well. And not only does it hold the young man in position with the Celtics, it stops all the talk. It stops all the talk because everybody was speculating that the Celtics would part ways with Brown and everything is going to be topsy-turvy with the Celtics. And from what I'm seeing, I say that the Celtics are trying to build them a championship roster, and they know the guys that have put them in position. They just didn't finish the job. So kudos to Jaylen Brown, man. I agree to that Supermax deal. Lady T, what's your opinion?
I'm glad he got it. I'm not going to stop nobody or poo-poo on anybody that's getting the bag, right? I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I think it's amazing that they gave it to him. I'm glad it wasn't a whole bunch of pushback from him getting it. And a lot of people are saying that it's crazy that he got the deal. But I think he did enough to get the deal. I don't think I'm not sure if he's worth $30 million a year. And then some year, the fifth year is like $70 million in the last year. So I don't know if anybody is worth $70 million for 1 year. I don't know. I haven't seen a player that's worth that. But he got the bag. I'm not going to poo-poo on it. Kudos to him. And good luck. That's all I can
say.
Well,
you know, most teams do that, put the big money pay on the end of the contract. Because
the last 3 years.
Normally when that time rolls around, they're looking to trade him anyway. They're looking to trade him. And that last $70 million is not a part of the guaranteed money. So with that being said, we'll go ahead and pay you, you know, $30, $40 million each year. And then when we get down to the end of it, it depends on your performance, whether we'll keep you, sign you to another extension, or look to trade you. So that's just, to me, that's a team being
safe. What was Bradley Beal?
Your last 3 years is like $70 million apiece. The last 3 years is like seven. Yeah, like Bradley Beal. The last 3 years
right.
is like that. Like that third year, I think he's making like 67. Then the fourth year is like 68, and then the last year is like 69.9 or something like that. So I don't know nobody that's worth $70 million. Mike is gone. So I don't know nobody worth $70 million for 1 year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna poo-poo.
Hey, can I say this?
He got the bag. Now he gonna have to show up.
I was gonna say, I hope Porzingis could post, you know what I'm saying, post better, because he don't look like a post player to help out Jaylen Brown. If he could be a post player, the Celtics could win the championship. He could shoot threes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But
everybody
you know
getting paid, huh?
What's the deal? Like, everybody just, they just throwing out, they just throwing out money now. I mean, listen, get the bag, guys.
If you guys agree with this, let me know if you guys agree with this. The Celtics was a championship team last season. I don't think the players on the court fell short as much as the coaching staff did. I really don't. The Celtics are one team that did fall short that I don't really put all the blame on the players. It's the coaching. I feel like timeouts were misused. I feel like substitutions weren't granted at times that they really needed. I feel like when players needed a break, it just seemed like the coaching staff didn't recognize that. To me. That one game when Tatum won the series, I forgot which team it was they were playing, but Tatum came out and had almost 50 points, if not 50. The very next game, they had him play the full game again. And it was like you could see that he didn't have the full intensity that he had in that last series. And I'm like, okay, I'll sacrifice one game for two games of 100%. And it just looked like, to me, that the Celtics didn't recognize that at key moments of their that Celtics series. That Celtics in Miami.
I know what you're talking about, brother.
No,
hey, look, the Celtics wasn't even supposed to win to the next round. The 76ers had it in game six.
I think what you're saying, Kel, I understand what 007 is saying, too, with them not supposed to be there. But whoever was there was supposed to be there. That's all I'm saying on that note. But what Kel is saying, like, I'm paying you $30 million a year. You can't give me 100% two back-to-back games? It's a problem. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying right there. If you can't give me two 100% games back-to-back, I didn't say three, I didn't say four, I didn't say five. I said two. Give me two back-to-back games at your 100%. And you want $30 million, and y'all out here crying, talking about, I need more money, I need a bigger contract, I need this, I need that. Please sit down. Please have a seat, sir. Please, and thank you for your services.
I didn't hear that. But didn't Tatum give all in that game before the last game with the 76ers? I mean, for real, if my memory serves me correct, Tatum balled out in that 76ers series. And it looked as if he just didn't have anything left when it came to Miami. It just looked like he was spent.
That's the problem. Like if that's all you had right there. That's all you had in that one game. That's all you had. Like I need you to give me some more. Buy some more.
But
do something.
But do you put that on the player or coaching?
Yes.
Because the coach is supposed to see that and recognize that. The coach is
supposed to be that dog on the team, right? You the head of the snake. And if that's all you got, what you want the rest of the tail to do? What you want the rest of the tail to do if you the head of the snake and that's all you got? Like, no. I need you to get back in the gym. I need you to get your strengthening and training together. I need you to get your health better. I need you to do something to get more energy for the games. You know it's 48 minutes, and you need two 48-minute games to be complete 100%. And then I'm paying you $30 million to do it. Please stop babying these grown men.
Because
if we giving them $30 million, I ain't say $30,000. I didn't say $30. I said $30 million. at least put $2 million into your body.
Yeah.
If we ain't seen nobody else do it, we seen Kobe do it.
Well,
learn from Kobe. He already he put the game plan out there. LeBron. He's 38 years old. He's still playing like he's 19 years old some days. Like he give you all he got. Like,
we saw LeBron. We saw LeBron tire out too. We did
see
him tire out.
He's 38 though. He's 38.
Okay.
He's 38 though, Kim.
I'm with you on that. I understand everything you're saying.
But
he tired
I have a
out
question
as well. Go ahead.
That's
go
true.
Ahead,
he do. That's 007.
That series you was talking about, Marcus Smart had a chance to win the games instead of sending the overtime. Instead of signing Jaylen Brown to that contract, shouldn't they pursue Damian Lillard? Because he hits big shots at the end of the, at the end of games, you might as well pay him that money. Or somebody,
I don't think he wanted to be there. I don't think he wanted to go there. His manager was telling people not to pursue him. So they could have been one of the teams that he said not to pursue him. So it was a lot of teams that was told not to pursue him because he didn't want to go there.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Now, I believe Damian Lillard is an all-star. I believe Damian Lillard is a great player. But I'm getting to the point where I'm kind of tired of the whole Damian Lillard. He wants to go here. He doesn't want to go there. And this is his dream. That's not his dream. I'm kind of getting tired of it. Seriously, it's like, bruh, you wanted to be traded as an organization. We're going to do what's best for us, not necessarily what's best for you. Now, if a three-team deal can be arranged where we're getting draft picks, players, all type of assets, we're going all in. Yes, we're with that. But if that's not available, then, bruh, we're going to go with what's best for us. And I know you guys say it's refreshing to see teams think player first, and it is. It truly is. But at the end of the day, you guys, as Portland, owe it to your fans. You owe it to your fans. And I know they drafted a guy this season with this draft, and they're saying that he'll be the replacement for a Damian Lillard in the future. But if you can get more, get more. Get more. I just don't – it's like you're thinking player first, but you're going against what great deals are all about. It's not about making the player happy all the time. It's not. And to me, I just feel like that is crazy because you owe it to your fan base, man. You owe it to your fan base. And you're giving money to Damian Lillard, but you're asking the fans to give you money. So
I think he
ended up
22.
Who is that, Lillard?
Yeah, I think he's in a catch 22. Like you saying, you tired of hearing the scenarios. He should go there. He should go that way. But he's one of those elite players that get to stay where he want to go. Like he's been loyal to them. They've been loyal to him, and they trying to work out something that's best for both sides. Like, so it's gonna take time to do that. It's just gonna be prolonged. It's gonna be drug out. It's gonna be all of that. It's gonna be the whole nine yards because he is Damian Lillard. You know what I mean? Like, he's that guy that when nothing else works in Portland, he works. So they're gonna try to make it work for him because they love him. You know what I'm saying? They really want him to stay. So they're trying to prolong it. as much as they can to see if he'll change his mind to stay there. But he's one of those elite players that get to pick where he want to go. And if it was the other way around, we'd be saying, why are they doing him like that? That's why I'm saying it's a catch-22. Like, if it was anybody else, it would already been done by now. But it's Damian Lillard. Okay. He's been nowhere else but Portland. He's been nowhere else. So it's going to take a minute for them to find the right fit for both sides. It's going to take a minute. It just is.
I got you.
That's just the way it's going to be.
Hey, look, on that, I got two comments. I'm going back to that LeBron. LeBron James, I know he did foul sometimes in the series this year, but that man got the right to foul sometimes. That man been in the league for 20 years and been in the playoffs and been past the first and second round every time he's been in the league. These young guys, like you were talking about, give me 200 every game. Only person I can see got that type of in him was the young dude that went to the Nets last year that we gave props to and missed no games. The rest of these guys is throwing to me. You know what I'm saying? So LeBron, him time out 20 years, been in the playoffs every year since he's been in the league, that's great, man. He's going to tie out. These rest of these guys, what's their reason for tying out? They've been home a lot.
Exactly.
Then they go to the Boston Celtics, Jaylen Brown in there, I believe they can get it done when they're putting the right pieces together. And, like, I agree with you too, big bro, about the coach. All of them was going through a process. The coach that they did have got put out. They threw that next – they didn't just throw that next man in because he was already there, but he ended up being the coach. It was a learning process for him. And if I'm not mistaken, all the great players that's in the league right now, like – Klay Thompson, Curry, all the ones we've seen win championships, they didn't win until their seventh or eighth year, if I'm not mistaken, if you can look that up, Lady T. So all it is a process that
That's
Boston got to get theirs together now. And they did have a team that looked like they could have won it last year, but they didn't win. So that must not have been the team. They had to break something up. And we were saying that last year. We thought it was going to be Jaylen Brown. But when I look at it now, that would have been retarded to get rid of Jaylen Brown and to keep Marcus Smart. Unless they was getting Dame Lillard. But like y'all also said just now, Dame Lillard gets to choose where he want to go right now. And it's a process with that because he's 33. That's just what we've been saying in the NBA. I just believe that Jaylen Brown and Tatum, I believe that they're going to get it done. I'm serious. They're going to get it done. They're putting the pieces together now, and it was this coach first year. Just give them time, man. Curry and them and LeBron, ain't none of them winning. They had to learn. Even when LeBron did get with a max team when he first went to Miami, they lost the first year. We thought they was going to win, but they still had to learn. It's a learning process. It's only been, like, what, six year together for Tatum and Jaylen Brown? We got fifth. We ain't even see. We so gung-ho that when you the stars, we expect for you to get it done. But when you think about it, Curry and them did not get it done to their seventh and eighth year, y'all. We can't just jump on them guys like that and say, oh, they ain't doing this, they ain't doing that. Man, it takes time. It's hard to win a championship in all sports.
It really
is. We all know that. And ain't no chance we're going to win it.
And to add to that, bro, that's a great point. Golden State, when they won so much and remained so relevant that, people just forgot the fact that it took them 6 to 7 years to get there, you know? Because the media world is always looking to tag someone as the best that ever done it, you know, it was easy for us to forget the fact that these boys struggled as a team to get there. And now they're to the point where you got players being traded and players not producing as much as they once were. You know, we still hold on to the fact that they were one of the greatest teams assembled. Why? Because they won the most in our recent era of watching basketball. So, we got to take all of that into account. We have to take all of that.
And their contract, and their contracts was already signed. So it was like when they won the championship, nobody really left. Like, everybody was still there.
Right.
All the key players were still intact. Every year.
Yeah, because
so they did a good job with the contract.
4 years, $43 million. So they came off with that, man. You know what I'm saying? 4 years,
exactly.
Terry just got paid. You know, we were saying he was underpaid,
good
but like you just said, he was on that 4 year, $44 million.
Yep.
Wow. Hey, y'all, just think about that for a minute. $44 million is underpaid to shoot a ball in a bag. That's crazy. I'm trying to win $40,000 on the Powerball or the Mega Million. And then we say,
I'm trying to win $400.
No, that's
right. How about that? $4,400.
Man, who you
tell? I say
$4,400. Who you tell? But, hey, listen. And our last basketball news, again, we want to send a prayer to the James family. For Bronny James, who collapsed on the court at USC with cardiac arrest. You know, it's sad when this happens to anyone. But a young guy, when this happens to a young guy who really hasn't experienced life yet, you know, and I was thinking about LeBron James' son and how none of them really have gotten into any trouble, had their names into anything other than a potential NBA lottery pick. You know, I know that the stress on him was major. Because he's the son of the proclaimed king of the NBA.
Of the GOAT.
So, of the GOAT. Well, I ain't going to say the GOAT.
I think
but
a
I
goat,
will say.
A GOAT. A GOAT.
Yeah.
He is a GOAT.
Yeah. Well, he's more, I believe that GOAT status comes when you retire. When you retire, then you can call someone a GOAT. Right now, while he's still stacking and still earning and his final stat line has not been produced yet, I think I will go with the king of today's NBA class. But Bronny James is a USC freshman, y'all. He's just a freshman, you know. And you know, he was hospitalized Monday after collapsing during a basketball practice with the USC Trojans, you know, and like I say, my heart, I can talk all type of trash about LeBron, and most of it is jokes. Most of it is jokes. Mm-hmm. I'll be first to say that. But when you're dealing with a family issue like this, and it's your child, everything stops and drops, and your concern instantly goes to your child. So prayers for that young man and his family. And I don't want to hear anyone say, well, they got money, LeBron a billionaire. What they got to do with his
what
child?
They got to do with
man?
It.
Exactly. But there are people that would say that. There are people that would say that. So prayers out to Bronny James, and we hope that the young man heals and comes out of this full stride and ready to go. All right. 563-999.
Kale, he is in stable condition. He's doing a lot better. He's not no longer in the ICU. He's doing a whole lot better. He's on a regular floor now. Like, he's doing a whole lot better. So, kudos to him.
Okay. That's what's up. And I'm going to tell y'all, as somebody that has been personally in that ICU wing of the hospital, that is a scary place to be. That is a scary place to be. So, you know, thank God for the young man being able to come out of the ICU and into the regular wing of the hospital. All right?
Yes.
All right, y'all. 563-999-3782 is our number. We're going to go directly into our football segment because we have none other than Red Washington football team greatest, my man Rick Doc Walker. What it do, Doc? How you feeling?
It's all about the K-9, baby. It's all about the K-9.
What's up, B-O-T?
Coming together. Coming together.
Hey.
Hey, man. Grinding out, man.
Yes.
Long day.
Yes.
Long day.
Well, we thank you for sharing this time with us. Yes, yes. We thank you for
good to be on Kel's show. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to jump right into it, Doc.
Okay.
I'm going to jump right into it. How do you feel about the sale and the transition of this Washington football team, number one? And number two, they're talking about a name change. What name would you love to see this team go under proceeding forward with their football opportunity?
Whatever the people decide with the name, that's not my number one priority. My number one priority is that we get the uniform back. And the championship uniform. And if we get that back, I don't care whatever they're called, I'll work it out. Because if they were 10-1, I wonder if people would have a problem with anything. I know that there's a link to Dan and the whole people, but at some point, if it can't be what it was once was, then we need to come up with something that the group decides they want. Really a vote of the people. And then whatever the people who are going to support it decide they want to go with it, I'm good. But the jersey, I mean, we've been the Liberace of football. I've been saying it for years. The 70s look was different. We have never determined what real burgundy really is. We've done maroon.
Yep.
Now we're doing this shadow pink. We got all kind of colors. But I want to go back to the championship uniform. A white at home, jersey at home. We were white at home. I want to get back to that. I mean, the love college football's tradition, it'd be like the Wolverines or the Buckeyes changing their helmets or their looks. I mean, it's blasphemy. And so whatever we decide, I'd like to see if we can really decide it. If they could prove that skins is not racist, which they obviously can't do or they would have done it, I'm willing to even be patient for that. But right now, more than what it is, I want to know who we are. We got to have a better football team results on game day. And that, to me, is getting the fan base back and getting everybody on one accord and then moving forward. Because we were a team that was the most racist team in all of sports with John Preston Marshall. We overcame that. Bobby Mitchell's insurgent. We've come so far. I don't ever want to lose that momentum. If we represent the nation's capital, and they didn't mind being an all-white team at its inception, we've got to prove beyond that, and we've done that a lot. But I do think that we got a lot of bickering going on now, and we need to settle this. The people need to settle it and vote on what they like, and then hopefully they'll honor it.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a question. Now that we're under new, that the Washington is under new management, would you consider being a part of that team, like the coaching staff?
No, I'm not a coach. Okay. I want to do what I do, and that is cover the team, be a broadcaster, because coaching is in America in the NFL, it's all buddy system. They have very little regard for expertise. What they're trying to do is take care of buddies. And I just can't. I don't want to be a part of any of that. I just want to, whatever they decide to do, I'm good with that. I just want to support them the way we were supported back in the day. And that's unconditional love. Unconditional love.
Okay.
They do. I'm not going to change the league. The league is a cesspool. They had a guy that was horrible for 24 years, and the only reason they couldn't get rid of him because they're just as bad as he is. And so I'm never going to forget that. That's the main line he's not really discussed. So this was crime versus crime, and I don't think there's any victors in this because if it were, they would have voted him out years ago.
Right.
But he had something on them. And so I just want to – that's why I just stick to the game. They disgust me. But I can turn on the evening news and be just as disgusted with the leadership of the entire country. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a football team, and we can't even get the country straight. We got guys, a former president that's been up for indictments and criminal charges and people going to prison, and we worried about a damn name? Come on, man.
Right.
We're better than that.
You know what, Doc, to add to that, I was thinking about that same thing the other day. All my years on this earth, I've heard presidential scandals. I've heard presidential wrongdoings. But I've never seen a president or ex-president going to court and being indicted on charges for whatever the case may be. You know, I'm not familiar.
And gaining votes. And getting stronger and getting more people. To me, that's what everybody should be focusing on, is our ability for a lot of our people didn't have the right to vote. And now that you do, not to use that is a sin. We should be mobilizing forces to get these people to understand that all Americans are supposed to be equal. It doesn't seem that way to me when I watch the news. And so I'm saying, let's get our house cleaned up. And let's take care of people that need our help. I mean, we got some major issues. Now, sports is a good, you know, it gets you away from it. But how far you want to get away and then come back and then go. And then what I like about Josh came in, brought everybody around. He came in and said, I want to build community. He came in saying, let's go to work. That's the attitude I love. We got a guy now that's a human being. And so, and then Magic coming in saying, we've never been eligible for these type of things.
Right.
Josh could have picked anybody, but he picked Magic. And Magic, I love the way he addressed it, that he did it for his father. Imagine his father knowing his son is a part owner of a national football team, and we're usually not even invited to that party. Now, we can play the game. We utilize the hell out of us in the game, but yet you can't have an owner, a majority owner. You can't have a group. That's only because we allow it to happen.
Yeah.
We just keep supporting it no matter what. Well, I'm done with that. I mean, you know, you got to be true. I mean, with the running backs and what they're going through now, they got to understand there was phone booths when I grew up. Pay phones. They're done. Okay. We started on a horse. Now we got electric cars.
Right.
Get over it. The game has changed. Nobody care about your disposal. You know? So now a new position. Nobody cared about the linebackers and tight ends and guards 25 years ago.
That's
true.
Hey,
come on, Kurt.
Back in the 70s, you know, I had season tickets from 70 to 78, and I worked in the government, and they would fight the Republicans, Democrats, and they'd fight all week long, but come Sunday, they was high fiving and slapping hands and praising the Redskins and had a good time because the Redskins unified the city. Even the crime rate dropped when the Redskins played. I'm serious. And the fans get out there and line all the streets, and the cowboy buses would come in there and boo, get out of town. You know, just give them a hard time. Wasn't no friendly place to go at RFK, you know, if he's wearing something besides burgundy and gold. But
Bobby Mitchell still couldn't become a GM.
Right, exactly.
Bobby Mitchell still couldn't become a GM.
I know that.
I love that brother, right. Man. That brother tried. He tried to do it all. That's why I'm saying it's time to realize how we've been played. You've been played. And now it's time to unite and put an end to this ridiculous thing by coming together, as they say, as a community, decide what we're going to be, decide how we're going to look, and move forward.
Right. Yeah.
But the product on the field, I don't want to be in last place for the next 10 years. That's out. I'm tired of that.
We ain't going to be either. No, sir. We got us an offensive coordinator now. And we got a badass
defense. Be great.
Defense. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm excited about taking a look at it. So you got to be healthy.
Speaking of offense, I have a question. Why Jacoby is not in the Hall of Fame?
Because the Washington franchise has no political clout. You're treated like stepchildren. You couldn't get Art Monk in first ballot. He was number one in the league when he retired.
That's right.
You're constantly disrespected because you have no political clout.
Yeah.
Gary Clark should be in the Hall. If Drew Pearson's in, Gary should be standing right next to him with better numbers.
Yeah.
But we don't have – we can't even get a groundful swell of people to storm. We've got guys like Brian Mitchell. We've got guys Larry Brown, Brian Mitchell, Joe Jacoby, Pat Fisher, all worthy candidates to be Larry Brown Hall of Famers. But there's no groundswell. We're not organized. No, he's not.
Oh, man.
Nowhere close. No, we're close.
Oh, my God. That's sad.
That's why I say you got to galvanize your fan base. You got to develop a political force of power through people that do it the right way, organize, and have, so I don't care, a million emails going to that NFL office. You know, you got to do something that's just concise, that is not just talking trash, but willing to back it up. And so that's why we got to build our fan base back, like the Buffalo Mafia. They got Joe DeLamalur in. The Mafia did.
That's right.
They wrote so many letters. They have a powerful force. They've lost four Super Bowls, and they're still powerful. The Cleveland Browns got their guy. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We're being beat at the voting window because we don't really have a collective thrust. We're not organized. You know, it's one, two people popping up and falling down, popping up, falling down. This ain't about cheerleading. This is about developing a force of nature that can't be stopped through support.
That's right.
We're there. Mm-hmm. We're on the ground. We cheer. Our place is like it used to be, intimidating. That place ain't intimidating. Place is a joke.
It even looked like the Eagles' home team. I mean,
everybody comes in and abuses it. So that's my deal is Operation Return to Glory. To me, means collectively getting our butts back in the groove. I don't care if we're not in the stadium. Then we have 100,000 in the parking lot. Like LSU does, like Penn State does, like Michigan. We're capable of doing it, and then let Josh and the group and Magic, he going to get some doors open. We might end up back in D.C. Who knows? Wherever we are, it doesn't really matter where it's at to me. But wherever it is, it's got to have Metro.
Yeah.
It's insane not to be able to have a place that has mass transit. Who would do that?
You got to score more than 18 points a game, too.
We got to score 28 a game. Yeah.
That's right.
No, Kirby. You can score 18 points a game if you hold the other team to 14. If the defense
can't do that today,
hold the other team.
Yeah, too nerve-wracking. We've been having nervous breakdowns. We need some blowouts, man. We need to be like Kansas City. They be blowing people out. I'm tired of them field goal games. Come on, man. We're getting too old to be nervous the entire game. How about a blowout?
Dominate.
To add to what you're saying, Doc, I can recall as a young man growing up off of Bennett Road, right at Kramer Street, less than three blocks from RFK, and waking up on Sunday morning, and my mom couldn't afford the jersey. So we would magic marker Redskins and a number on the jersey. And as those buses would turn down Oklahoma, you'd have the old man out in the yard raking the knees and the old woman sitting up on the porch. And as the team drives in on the bus, the visiting team, you would have those old people stop what they're doing and giving the visiting team the finger and letting these people know that they in for hell. They are in for hell. You go to FedEx Field, you don't see that. You don't see that. It has never been a united family atmosphere with FedEx Field like it was with RFK. So I agree with you 1,000%. When it came to back in the day, this fan base would unite and make sure that a player for this team that deserves that Hall of Fame push would receive that Hall of Fame push. But now it's
and Washington like, had a good mayor, too. A good mayor backed them up, too.
Yeah. A great mayor. Marion Burke, a great mayor. Like you said, you can go to the game and one of the biggest drug dealers in this area, Rayful Edmond, would be sitting beside Manbury and all these politicians, and they would be high-fiving and excitement and throwing pillows and cheering and chanting, "We want Dallas," you know, all Sunday afternoon, night, whenever the game was going on. And then come Tuesday, it's back to work. It's back to work. And that is what has been missing from this city for the whole
year. Well, it's a matter of pride. Walker won a Rose Bowl. Walker went back-to-back Super Bowl. Why? Because it wasn't about Walker. It was about the team. The whole team wanted – they didn't care who scored as long as they scored. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shout out to Joe
Gibbs.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out to all those guys who gave their all.
That's right.
On the field.
And they dominated the line of scrimmage, too, both sides.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gerald Grant.
So,
yeah, World, so Charles Mann, Dexter, Tony McGee.
Yeah,
you know, Dave Butts, Matt Mendenhall.
And
we had a lot of guys, man. It was more of a blue-collar approach. And John Riggins, Joe Washington, and those guys, man. Bobby Jackson. We just had so many guys. And hopefully, you know, we'll find out this week, get it started, and hopefully they're blessed with health. And it was up to Ron and company to get us some results.
Well, I'm just glad that Eric Bieniemy has total control of the offense and Riverboat Ron don't.
Well, yeah. I mean, and they're going to give it to him because they realize that he's their last chance. He's it.
Yeah.
And he's capable of doing it. But the offensive line has got to get to work. They got to stay healthy. And we got to come out of there with five guys that become one. They got to play as a unit. And that's not easy to do.
Yeah. Right.
Is it because Ron Rivera wasn't vocal all four quarters versus Eric Bieniemy could be vocal to the players all four quarters? Do you think that could make a difference this season?
Yeah, cool.
Well, it should. I mean, any coach – being a head coach, you're supposed to have somebody got to inspire people. And I think if Ron, I think Ron's health prohibited him from being himself, and the team suffered from that. But he had, but he stayed alive, and I think it took a toll on him. He's capable of that, but Ron don't play. I don't believe in that. It's the players that got to play better. Now they got to get better schemes, and that's why we got Eric. So with Jack Del Rio and Eric Bieniemy and Coach K, our special teams is outstanding. There's no reason for us not to be in the upper, in the fight. We ought to be in competition for everything.
For the playoffs.
I agree with that 100%.
And bring D.C. back to glory, man. Bring D.C. You want people involved, like you said, Doc. Dominate some games. Win some games to the point where Eagles, Cowboys, Giants fans can't come and say, oh, yeah, y'all only won because of this. Win in a dominating factor. Win in
that
a
Cleveland
dominating
loss.
Factor.
That Cleveland loss and that Giant loss at home killed me. It should have been in the playoffs last year.
Let me mention something here.
So what would be your slogan? Make the Redskins great again? Is that going to be your slogan?
Not mine because they're not the Redskins.
I'm sorry. I mean, you don't know what, you know, Kel doesn't like watching a football team. He didn't like that. He doesn't like the Commanders. So, you know, I'm listening to everything you're saying, Doc, and it sounds good and everything, but it looks like to me that, you know, even with what you do this year, you're still going to be last place in your division. I can't see you making enough moves.
Where are y'all, Kenny Pickett? That's right. But listen here. Everybody needs to listen to Doc Walker's podcast Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He's on there every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a fantastic podcast. They deal with all the sports and the current news and everything. It's entertaining, and it's educational, and so I highly recommend that if you haven't joined.
Yeah, 982 this week. And the weekends are 106.7. I'm doing a weekend shift, so you can catch me on all those vehicles. I put it out there. I put the canine signal out and just join me. Hey, always a pleasure, man. Y'all stay in there. Stay strong.
So, Doc, listen, we do something at the end of the show that we give somebody the word, the last word. We would be honored if you give us the last word.
Well, the last word is Operation Return to Glory, and it's going to take all of us to do our part.
Take command.
And, and so that's my whole thing is Operation Return to Glory and win by any means possible. That's it. I'm not accepting defeat under any circumstances.
Yes, sir.
That's it for me.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Thank you, Doc. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, I'll be out there Friday. Yeah, alumni practice and she is taking vacation, so I think I'm on Thursday or Friday. But I'll put the signal. I'll put the canine signal. I'll let y'all know. Appreciate the support. Y'all be good. Kirby, stay blessed.
Can you post your show to Kale's Corner? We'll send you an invite. Just post it to Kale's Corner so we can let people know how to contact you.
Get on
your podcast. Okay.
Absolutely.
We love you.
All right.
Thank you.
Y'all be good. Love you back. All right, Mr. Kirby. Y'all be good. I'm out. Peace.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
We love you. And on that note, you guys, y'all heard it here first. Operation Get It Together from Rick Dogg.
Oh, man.
Okay? DMV Kale and Lady T would like to thank everyone that supports us here on Kale's Corner, you guys. DMV Kale and Lady T would also like to say that we love you guys today more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow, you guys. DMV Kale and Lady T, we are here every Tuesday and Thursday between the hours of 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. The number here is 563-999-3782. And you guys can follow Kale's Corner on Instagram at Kale's Corner and on Facebook at Kale's Corner. You guys can also log into blogtalkradio.com/UKLMcLean and listen to the broadcast there as well. Listen, guys, don't forget our sick and shut-in. We got Kirby. We got Grandma. We got Bronny James. We got Steve, and we got Mom Betty, y'all. Put all of those people on your prayer list, you guys. I love you guys, and we'll be right back here on Thursday, 5 p.m., God willing, sharp. Kel, you have the very last word.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Doc Walker. Thank you, Kirby, for making that possible. I love every time Doc comes on the show. He inspires and boosts me to keep this thing going and allows me to see just how relevant we are. Thank you to 00757, Tang, Nima, I see you, baby, and everybody else, Marcus, all the people who were a part of the show. Now, we didn't get to go to our NFL top 10 quarterback and running back ranking, so we're going to do that Thursday. We're going to do that on Thursday's show. Hey, listen, if you love them, they should already know. And if not, grab them Bammers, hold them Bammers, and squeeze tight as you can till nothing but love comes out of they mouth. All right? All right, y'all be safe. Like Tree said, Lord willing, we're going to do this thing over Thursday, 5 p.m. Y'all have a great one.
Love somebody.